Talking with TD.
Talking with TD.
Touchdown, Tennessee.
The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut-up, sir.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Here we go. Yes, yes, another week, another opportunity to talk shop. I'm excited. Why? Because it is officially the offseason. The Super Bowl is in the books. It's time to roll it forward towards the 2024 season. We have a lot to offer this year. Obviously, you got the draft talk. We're going to have the draft series. We're going to have guys and girls from different perspectives, different outlets to bring their input on the draft. We're going to start that out this week with Damian Parson from the Draft Network. He is a guy I spent the week with down there at the Senior Bowl. Plenty of insight there. We got Chris Sanders talking shop, of course, and on Run TMC. Speaking of the Senior Bowl, we got the man himself, the mountain of a man, my interview with Tavondre Sweat, the Texas defensive tackle. Another guy no one is talking about, but he would be really good for the Titans, is Malik Mustafa, the safety out of Wake Forest. I got an interview with him, too. These are some leftover interviews that we have from the Senior Bowl. But what we have first is me. You are now talking with TD. I'm your host, Teron Davenport. We got David James over there making it happen.
Yes, sir. Good to be back, buddy.
That's what I was going to say. He's back on the mound.
Back out, man.
My starting pitcher, my ace, my Doc Gooden. Yes, sir. We had Jesse Orozco last week. You know, Jake did a great job, man.
Yes, it was great having him.
So, yeah, I mean, let's kick it off, obviously, with the Super Bowl. I want to start from there because it was interesting to me because I'm watching this Super Bowl and I'm looking at it from a Titans perspective. And I'm like, there's two different things that you have going on. And here's the thing. Patrick Mahomes is a unicorn. You're not going to find many of him. However, if you could come across a Joe Burrow, a Lamar Jackson, a Josh Allen, you have someone that can potentially go toe-to-toe. Of course, the only one out of those three that managed to beat Patrick Mahomes when it mattered in the playoffs was Joe Burrow.
Joseph Burrow.
However, the Titans got the guy who coordinated the offense. We'll see what happens there. But I was looking at it from two different perspectives, right? And I'm like, okay, can Will Levis elevate into that guy that you say, hey, he's someone that could go against Patrick Mahomes? Look, I'm keeping it 100. I'm keeping it a buck. Not likely. There aren't too many. I just named three of them. And those guys are still, like, you could say, oh, I don't know. However, you look on the flip side. And I think this is interesting about this Titans team. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to land a plane in a second. On the flip side, you have a team like the 49ers that has a monster roster. What's interesting to me is in the Titans, you have something from both worlds, right? As we mentioned, you have the coordinator who helped put together the offense that Joe Burrow excelled in, the one that went to Kansas City. Man, that screenplay that he caught at the end of the first half in that AFC Championship game, it was the touchdown to Samaje Perine. I saw Tajay Spears down there at the Senior Bowl a couple weeks ago, and he was asking me about Brian Callahan. And I was like, hey, man, your catches are about to go up. And I told him to go back and watch that game. And there were a few others I told him to watch. But that was a good example of, like, you know, how you could get some free yards. You could have a timely call to make an explosive play. That's a good example. But back to the story. You have Brian Callahan, who coordinated that offense that Joe Burrow was able to take to the next level. Then you have Rand Carthon, who was a big part of engineering that roster that the 49ers have had over the last couple of years. So you could have the best or a portion of both worlds. I just, honestly, this Chiefs team, like, I don't know, man. Because you look, if they mess around and get, you know, first of all, I'll say this. I don't think Keon Coleman is going to drop that far.
Oh, man.
But if he's there at 32, oof.
Oh.
But you know who else may be there? Troy Franklin may be there at 32. So one way or another, they could get another good receiver. And you see Rashee Rice beginning to elevate into a not top level, but into a playmaker for the Chiefs. So watch out. And now on top of that, you got the defense. It's going to be interesting seeing how everything plays out. But I wanted to, you know, kind of look at that perspective, right, and see. Now, this Titans team, obviously, there's a lot that has to be fixed. You know, This team is void of playmakers, is at least an abundance of them. You have a guy in Jeffrey Simmons. You have a guy in DeAndre Hopkins. Like, you look at the Colts game, although the first one, right? Although they lost in Indianapolis, there was a point where it was like, DeAndre Hopkins is really taking over this game. That was his first 100-yard performance, I believe it was, for the Titans. But he showed that he still is able to take over a game. So you have that. Defensively, I mean, there are a few games where Simmons showed that, hey, like, he's a premier player. I think you look at the way the Chiefs used Chris Jones, how they moved him around. That's what has to happen with Simmons. And you've seen that, right? You know, they'll flip Simmons to the outside and put Danico Autry on the inside. Speaking of Autry, that's a guy that you have to bring. You have to find a way to bring him back. I know he's 33. A two-year deal with, a good amount guaranteed, I think should be able to bring him back. But those are the things that you have to do. You have to get guys who could be super impactful, game-changing players. And that takes me to this. T. Higgins, obviously, that's a tie, right? He's an Oak Ridge kid. Callahan, he's played under. He's going to get tagged. Like, that's not something that's new news to us. I don't necessarily know that I would make that trade and sign him to that big deal. But one guy I would make the trade for that's already on a big deal is Brandon Ayuk. And I'm not sure what – I mean, you got – Now, look, family and friends on social media, it you only put so much stock in it. But they're saying that he needs to get up out of there.
Yeah. He already went on Instagram and said, don't forget what got you there. It was either I think it was him. What, wasn't it Brandon Ayuk?
I think it was his brother, right?
Yeah.
His brother said that. Or yeah. Did Ayuk have comments himself?
It might have been Ayuk on his Instagram.
Well, I'll say this. You know what? If they could pry him out of there, Ayuk, in my opinion, is a prime candidate mm-hmm. for this team. And now, I'm giving up a second-round pick for Ayuk.
Oh, yeah.
You know what
all
I'm saying?
Day. All day, every day.
I'm doing that because you bring him in, he's an established player. Low-key, DJ, he's one of the best route runners. Mm-hmm. That dude is nice.
He's the way he's so shifty with the game, bro.
Exactly.
And that's what the Titans need. They need that now.
And he's a deep threat.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. Hey, this is just speculation. I don't know if he's going to be available or not. But if I'm Rand, I'm on the phone with John Lynch like, bro, what's up, man? I mean, what's up?
Got a discount?
not even a discount. I'm just going from the gate like, yo, man, let me get that. You know what I mean? That's what has to happen. So, you know, that's one of the things that I think would really make a difference for this team, a playmaker like him. And then you could come back. Now, you know, you get Ayuk and you get that deal done before the draft. Guess what? You don't have to go and say, hey, look, you know what? We have to get a receiver in the first or second round. That's something that you as the Titans front office don't have to say. So, I mean, it's going to be really cool watching the play out. Free agency is going to be interesting. I think even if you sign or trade for Ayuk, you still turn around and you sign a Tyler Boyd, too. I would bring him in, obviously, the familiarity. And then he would be just like that guy to help a fellow veteran in the receiver room. And like now all of a sudden, you got Brandon Ayuk, Treylon Burks, DeAndre Hopkins, Tyler Boyd, Kyle Phillips. You're in pretty good shape. And then if you happen to draft a young receiver like a Javon Baker, or you go and get a Malachi Corley, you know, you could get – you could get a part two, Deebo Samuel, and it is, as you're showing me right here, he said, don't forget what got you there.
It's still on his Instagram page.
Hey, Rand, don't forget what got them there. Go get him. Nah, let's be serious about it. So those are some of the things like in free agency, you know, and trade. And that's as these next couple weeks, you'll see a lot unfold. So we'll see what happens there. But one other thing you have is the draft. And we talked about Jeffrey Simmons and Danico Autry and how you can have guys that, you know, impact up front. Well, here's another guy that could impact up front. And watching Steve Avila last year, one of the guards that I suggested, you know, as a day two option for the Titans at TCU, one of the things I continuously saw was, because I went back to that Texas tape a lot. And he went against Devontae Sweat and the other D tackle. I think it was Brandon Stevens. I don't remember his name, the other D tackle, but it was pretty interesting watching that tape. And I said, let me watch this Sweat dude a little bit more. So that's what I did. And he happened to be down there. It's a Senior Bowl. So here's Devontae Sweat. And this is when we got to talk to him at the Senior Bowl.
I'm myself. You know what I'm saying? I'm myself. I don't like model myself after them, but like I kind of take stuff from them to work on myself. You know what I mean? Yeah. Just taking like they craft and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Just get better every day.
T, you mentioned Fletcher Cox. One of the things he does is D tackle, always run down screens and stuff like that, the opposite side of the ball. You do that also. What is it that gives you that endurance to do it at that size?
Man, I love ball, man. Ball took me long way, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So just going out there playing with my brothers and just giving it all I got, because ball don't owe you nothing.
Is that something, you know, is that something like you take personal to do within your game? So that's forceful. Hey, I'm going to make sure I run to the ball and they know.
Got to. Yeah. That, I'm a D-lineman. They all think a D-lineman just walk out. Like, you jog 5 yards out the stadium, you out of it. You know what I mean? Just consistency.
We saw you with the bull rush today a couple times, you know, kind of running through the linemen. What are some of your other moves you like to go to besides that?
I kind of like everything, you know what I'm saying? I really try to stay away from the bull rush. Mm-hmm. Me personally, I don't think it's fair.
It doesn't have to be fair.
I'm 360 going against 300 or 290.
You
want to
do a fight,
you know what I'm saying?
Is what you're saying.
Right. It's not even that. I just like to work my craft, man. Oh, yeah. Like, I know I could bull rush or whatever, but I just like to work my hands and just work on my craft.
You mentioned Sue as a guy you watch. Well, one of his coaches was Terrell Williams, the guy you're working with now. What's it been like working with him?
It's great, man. Just a blessing to even get to experience NFL coach before I even make it. Mm-hmm. Well, I had one, Coach Bo Davis, but just to get to experience a different coach from Bo Davis, you know what I mean? Just to get to feel a difference and stuff like that, it's just an honor to be here.
And what's your diet like? I mean, you mentioned 360, but you move around well. What's it consist of?
What you mean?
Like, what's your diet? Like, what are some of the things you eat to maintain your weight, not making it go up? I would imagine you don't want it to go down.
It's not even the eating part. It's just me just consistently moving. Just don't just sit around or lay around. So that's kind of what's my diet. Like, you got skinny guys that can eat and sit there, you know what I mean? I eat anything that's going to sit on me, you know what I mean? So I just consistently moving and just doing something.
Outside of your pure size and power, is there anything else you're hoping to show teams throughout your meetings or through practices to say?
My pass rush, man. I get questioned a lot. Can that big guy pass rush?
Have you
turn on the film, you'll see.
Have you watched Jeffrey Simmons at all?
I watched him a little bit.
Anything pop out to you about?
So some pretty cool stuff there. I like the way he had mentioned, and I talked to him walking out of the convention center there, and I asked him about his background. I'm like, hey man, were you ever a hooper? And he said he was a hooper, power forward. He averaged like 20 and 10 in high school, and you could kind of see that the footwork wise. That's something that I remember talking to T.R. Tart about as well. You know how he was able to use his upbringing as a hooper and incorporate that into his game as a big man with really good feet. So I thought that was cool. Another guy we got to talk to was Malik Mustafa. And I tell you, if you remember the old Colts teams, right, and they had a guy by the name of Bob Sanders that was just like a literal heat-seeking missile. Yeah, that's a lot of what you get from Malik Mustafa. I actually asked him about that. Here's my interview with Malik Mustafa, Wake Forest safety.
I talked to you about that physicality that you bring. It reminds me of Bob Sanders, if you remember the safety from the Colts.
Yeah.
Is he someone that you've watched before? You shake your head when I
say
his
name.
Yeah,
because that's brought up to me before about, you know, some people kind of reminding me of, like, what their game or what my game reminds me of them. So, Bob Sanders, you know, playing for the Colts, you know, a guy that, you know, brought that pain whenever he was on the field. So, I like picking up pieces from him, like looking back at old footage. And I was telling people earlier, I like to watch a lot of Budda Baker.
Yeah.
Well. Just because, like you said, I'm a size guy that just has a nonstop motor. just flies around on tape, just that anchor of that defense, you know, he's such a pivotal part of that Cardinals defense. And, you know, I love to watch him and try to pick up any piece of his game, try to implement my own game.
Yeah, and on tape, you mentioned that, right? As you look on tape, like, you don't care about your body. You know, you're going to throw it in there regardless of who's running the football. How do you develop that mindset?
Yeah, like, just kind of see ball, get ball mentality. Mm-hmm. My boy JD at Wake Forest, that's going to be in the draft next year. Like, he had that mindset of just always nonstop, you know, try to run through the defender. That's the mindset I kind of have, you know, just being able to have no fear when you put those pads on, because nothing in between those white lines matter when you step on the field. You know, try to compete, trying to, you know, win, trying to dominate, and trying to win the war with your team, you know. Yeah. Just something that I take very serious, and nothing else matters. You know, we figure out all the nicks and bruises I might get after the game, and, you know, I know that I gave everything I got on the field.
Yeah, I hate when players get, like, categorized or funneled into a certain role. One thing I've seen with you is, oh, he's a box safety, yeah, right? But I've seen range on film. Like, you have that. So how do you respond, you know, when someone says, oh, yeah, Malik Mustafa, man, that's a box safety.
Yeah, I mean, in their own respect. I mean, maybe they've seen me more in that position than others, but I try to do the best I can trying to showcase that ability. And at the same time, I'm going to be able to prove it whatever team gives the opportunity to drive me and be able to solidify myself once I get my foot in the door. So, like I said, I'll show a lot of versatility on film. So whatever team really, you know, does their homework, they're going to see that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's going to be the best team for me. That's going to be the best fit for me.
Teams that do their homework, I'm sure, are speaking to you. What's some of the feedback you've gotten?
Yeah, just great things. Like, you know, I've been, you know, being able to interview, trying to talk football with a lot of teams. And that's, you know, one of the strong teams I want to showcase, because that's one of the things I like to take charge in, just of the defense, you know, trying to get everybody in line, trying to get all the defense on the same page. And, you know, at the next level, you're going to have to be a very, very smart safety to last in this league. So you got to know what D-line doing, the linebacker's doing, the safety's doing, you know, how things can change, and even playing mind games with the quarterback and the offense. You know, all things are important to help you last in this league, and something that I keep trying to continue to build on throughout this process.
Man, as a safety, you're like the traffic cop in the secondary, right? You got to make sure everything is communicated. What are some of the better ways you've been able to do that?
Yeah, just trying to vocalize and overtalk whatever I see. I usually say it, whether it's from the down and distance, whether it's formation, whether it's what plays we can get out of these sets, you know, things like that, movements, tools that we can use when I'm in man-to-man with the nickel and the two and three receivers that we're covering, different concepts that we can use to just try to limit the explosive passing, the running games, and even trying to predict plays. You know, it's all something that's pivotal, and all you got to do is just talk before the ball is snapped. And, you know, everyone's going to be able to be in sync as a defense. So definitely something that I just try to be as vocal as possible.
So there you have it right there. You know, those are two guys, I think, you know, day two, Malik Mustafa probably day three, you know, a prospect. But if you want help in the safety category, and he's actually surprisingly rangy as well. Very, very, as you heard, very intelligent. He speaks well. He knows the game well. And actually knows the history, too. So I was impressed when he actually recognized the Bob Sanders comparison. And obviously Sweat, you know, I like my big dogs, my D-tackles that run down screens, and that's what he does. So wanted to bring those interviews to you. We're going to go ahead and take a break. We'll be right back with Run TMC.
This is Derrick Henry. You're now talking with TD.
Run TMC. For you. Fresh.
Yeah. Here we go. The lights fade. The music dims. Coming to you live from Seattle, Washington. Starting at power forward for your Seattle Supersonics. Out of Wichita State. Number 31. Xavier McDaniel.
And now, story for the Los Angeles Clippers, Bo Outlaw. What's crack-a-lackin', man? How you doing, boss?
Hey, listen, I still didn't recover from when you showed my lady that picture of Sam Cassell. And she said she could see the resemblance. Oh, it's like, nah, she didn't say that. She didn't say that.
No, yes, she did.
I'm kidding.
Yes, she did.
But yours did say.
Stop. No.
Yours did say you do kind of look like Odin Polynice.
No, when you showed her that picture, Tyrell, she was like, Tyrone Hill. She was like, Dude, that's cold, man. Come on, man. I can't even think about that.
Got me over here choking.
Man, Tyrone Hill, man.
And I made sure I pulled up the old one, too.
The old. See, that ain't fair, man. See, I gave you an up-to-date one, man. You gave me one.
I had him in the black Sixers jersey, man. Yo.
Yeah,
that was
man. Hilarious,
boy. Okay. Oh, man. So, look, man, we got to see the Super Bowl. And you saw the value of a guy like Patrick Mahomes. There aren't many of those guys that grow on the planet. But, you know, open the segment, talked a little bit about a guy on the other side of the ball, like the other team that had some comments on social media. And he has 1 year left on his deal. Mm-hmm. And at $14 million, right, that's left on his rookie deal. And that's none other than Brandon Ayuk. Yeah. Now, I want to get into that, right? Now, is that a move? Like, what would you offer, keeping in mind they don't have a third-round pick? If you were the Titans, you know the Rankarthon ties.
Yep.
What would you – first off, is that somebody you would trade for? And if yes, what would the –
What would the
compensation be?
It's kind of like, what is that show where that dude spins it with? I can't remember. Where they run up, they say, come on up. And they run up real fast.
Price is Right.
Price is Right. You ain't even got to say that. I'm running to the stage because that's the kind of cat that you want. That's the kind of cat that you want. You know why, TD? He plays with a chip on his shoulder, man.
Yeah.
And listen to some of the guys, you know, on his team when they're trying to cover him on one-on-one. What do they say all the time? You know, he's uncoverable. So now you come into a situation to where you got Hop, you got Burks. I don't know what they're going to do with Burks. But just imagine having him come in here to where you have a quarterback with Will Levis to where he needs another reliable guy. I'm not saying Burks is not reliable, but right now another guy coming in with Ayuk, with Hop. You're going to make your quarterback better because just the level that he plays with. They say he practices hard. He does everything right. He's a team first guy, and he's a guy in the locker room that everybody trusts and they love. So, you know, whatever it takes, I mean, whatever it takes to bring this guy in, pay him a lot of money. I wouldn't give a first-round draft pick. I may say like a third round, a second or fourth-round draft pick, something like that. But these are the kind of cats that you want in the organization. Tough, physical, you know, understand the playbook and just making plays, man.
So, you look at, if that's an offer that you make, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think a fourth-round pick. It might. I mean, you look at some of the.
What about like a second and a fourth?
That's a lot, man. I would think a second alone would do it.
You think a second alone would do it?
But
I don't know, but he's a dude, though, man.
Yeah, I mean, he is a dude. But a second and a fourth would be a lot, don't you think?
I think it'll be a lot, but now, you know, your strategy kind of changes. So now when you go into the draft, you already know what you're going to get the seventh pick. You ain't got to worry about getting a wide receiver. You can go ahead and get, you know, that offensive lineman from Notre Dame. So it just makes your draft a little easier knowing that you got a top wide receiver and you got Hop on the other side of him and you got Burks, you got Kyle Phillips and all those other guys. It'll just make the draft easier when they get to the seventh pick because now you're going to have one side screaming for a wide receiver – another side screaming for an offensive line, but now all of a sudden you take the receiver situation out of the equation. Now you're at the seventh pick. You can go ahead and get an offensive tackle.
Yeah, you look at now. Obviously, Ayuk, as good as he is, he's not Tyreek Hill, but the Tyreek Hill pick trade rather it netted a first round pick, a second round pick, a fourth round pick, and then a fourth and a sixth in 2023. So. What would you say I would say that's one to really look at. I'm not sure what that comment said, but that's something that I would look at. Now, okay, or were you going to go?
Yeah, I was just going to say because, you know, then on the flip side, too, you know, the Titans got to get some more players in the building. So if you're giving up a second round, you better make sure if you're giving up a second round, TD, that, you know, it's going to pan out. And I really think with this guy, he comes in, that's definitely going to pan out.
What is it that gives you that confidence that this wouldn't be like the Peerless Price to the Falcons or the Alvin Harper to the Buccaneers type of situation?
No, just kind of listening to his peers. I mean, when your peers say that he's uncoverable, he's a team guy, you know, he's explosive, he makes, you know, spectacular plays, you know, now you got another wide receiver to where you just throw the ball up and you know that 9 times out of 10 he's going to come down with the ball even when it's a contested catch. So I just really believe that if they were even thinking about that, that it would be a good choice. But just like what you said, TD, they're going to give up some things to get what they need.
So if they give those things up to get Ayuk, the receiver core, barring free agency, Treylon Burks, Brandon Ayuk, DeAndre Hopkins, Kyle Phillips, you don't know what's going to happen with NWI, Nick Westbrook, and Kenny, or Chris Moore. And then you got Colton Dowell, right? Mm-hmm. Do you go out and you sign a Tyler Boyd? Do you sign a Darnell Mooney? Do you sign a Devin Duvernay? Just from the perspective of having him as a returner, like what do you do to address the rest of the receivers?
I think we would be set. Just all the, you know, if they sign Ayuk, I think you'll still be okay at the receiver position because if you look at it, just like we talk about, you know, each week, that the receivers in this draft are rich. I mean, you're not going to get a Marvin Harrison or a Malik Nabers or, you know, or Dunza from Washington. You may not get them, but you may get like a Walker from North Carolina or even, you know, from Florida State, you know, Coleman. Or even the guy that I love from Texas is Mitchell. So,
yeah.
You know, you still may not get the receiver that you want, but it's still so rich in the draft and wide receiver that you still get a good one in the later rounds.
You know, a guy that I would say probably, I think he's going to be third, fourth round probably, but he may run out of this world. Roman Wilson from Michigan. Have you seen him?
Yeah, you was telling me about him. That route that he broke that dude off in the Senior Bowl.
Yeah.
He broke him off.
That would be an ideal. Or have you seen Javon Baker out of UCF?
No, I haven't.
Watch him. Routes are really good. His route running is really good. And you got Malachi Corley out of Western Kentucky. Those are all guys. I think if you're what you're going to have to do, well, correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm going to backtrack a little bit.
Sure.
Kyle Phillips.
Yeah.
Punt return. Is that done? Is that ship sailed?
Yeah, I really think so.
Keep him out of there, right?
Yeah, you're going to have to keep him out of there. And I hate to say that because, you know, when he played in college, he was dynamic. And I don't know if it's the nervousness or just the speed of guys getting down there quicker that he can't make a decision. I don't know, but I just think that, you know, you gave him a couple of chances and he failed a little bit. I don't want to say that he failed, but he didn't, you know,
he
came up short. I just think that you just got to move on and get somebody that's reliable.
Okay, so that being said, all right, you trade for Brandon Ayuk. You got your number one. You're legit. Hey, when the game's on the line, I'm going to you. And that's DeAndre Hopkins. Mm-hmm. You got Brandon Ayuk, who is another, when the game's on the line, I'm going to you. But I also want you to be vertical. So you got that. And you got Treylon Burks, gadget, move him around, give him all types of – he's Treylon Burks.
Mm-hmm.
You got your slot guy in Kyle Phillips. Yep. You got your number five receiver who also doubles as a gunner in Colton Dowell.
Yep.
Do you add one more receiver that is a strong punt returner?
Yes. And I would say yes. And the guy that I like is, you know, Troy Franklin from Oregon.
Mm.
I mean, I love – listen, you talk about routes, you talk about all that. When you talk about a guy that gets – when he gets the ball in his hands, he makes something happen. He does. I mean, I'm not saying he's going to go in the second or third round. Might be later, but that's a guy that can maybe come in and do punt return. So, you know, and then also, too, you got to remember, too, that maybe Spears can do it. I don't know if you have your number one or two running back. We don't know if he was going to be here. But maybe you can use him in that situation. You had him out there kickoff return. But I know punt return's a little different. I don't know. But I think you can maybe find somebody to do that.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. I guess for me – I think it comes down to Ayuk or Troy Franklin. Because I think that second round pick is going to, you have to give up that second round pick to get Ayuk, in my opinion. And I don't think Franklin falls out of that top half of the second round. However, for me, the way I address that, I sign Devin Duvernay. What I do, I trade for Brandon Ayuk.
Ooh, come on.
And I sign him to a long-term deal. You're not going to play on that fifth year. We'll extend you. That's what I would do. You got the money, right? Extend him. But then also sign Devin Duvernay out of Baltimore. He or Tylan Wallace. Because Tylan Wallace showed that he could return punts, too. He had to return. Was it against the Rams for the touchdown?
It was against Rams.
I know David knows.
I remember. That was an incredible one. Incredible game.
We had both of them on Talking with TD. But I would say this. Dev Duvernay, and you could relate, speed kills.
Yeah.
He has that. He was a state champion. 100-meter dash. We ran like a 10-1. You know, so he got that speed, but he's also a really good returner also.
Yeah.
And someone that you could use for gadget route. So I think, you know, gadget play. So I think having him as your sixth, doubling as a he takes care of the return game altogether, I think that would be ideal.
You know what this reminds me of? It reminds me of 1999 went to the Super Bowl. Who was the sixth receiver at that time? Take a wild guess. Derek Mason.
He was the sixth?
Derek Mason was the sixth receiver. But guess where he was good for us in the game?
Returns.
Guess what changed the game? What changed the whole game in the AFC Championship game against the Jaguars?
He had that return.
For a touchdown. Yep. And that's all you need right there. And then here's the great part about it is he may not play wide receiver at the beginning, but start off at punt return, but then earn his way to get playing time and do something just like Derek Mason did.
I like that.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I don't think Duvernay becomes that.
Yeah,
but still, just having that value. You mentioned the value of the return game. I think that's worth it in itself. Well, I think we solved the Titans receiver problem, right?
Hey, ready to go.
Just listen to the show, man. We got you, brother. We got you. And speaking of listening to the show, here's a funny thing. God.
Yes.
I was listening to The Quiet Storm with my daughter because I wanted to I wanted her to see, like, what song. They listen. If a young man plays this song, you get up and you walk away.
Okay.
Right? If he plays this song when you guys are by yourself, you get up and you leave. I wanted her to hear the slow songs that you know, are red flags, time to go. And the song played, and it was over, and the guy, his name is Tony Brown, and he was like, "And now, you have just heard the chocolate song that melts in your ear. I am." And as soon as he said, "I am," my daughter was like, "Dad, he kind of sounds like the guy on Run TMC with you." I said, "Oh, no. That's not Chris Sanders. That's Tony Brown."
Hold on, man. You can't get away with that. Hold on. Hey, yesterday, me and my wife was just chilling. I just cooked some breakfast, and, you know, we sitting there watching TV, whatever. She's like, "Baby, turn on the TV." I'm like, "Hey, baby, let's watch a movie." So we're watching this movie called Hotel Rwanda.
Oh.
And as we're watching Hotel Rwanda, she's like, "Babe, I did not know that TD played in this movie." I said, "Baby, that's not TD. That's Don Cheadle."
This is AJ Brown, and you're talking with TD.
Yeah, back from the break, talking with TD. Man, I love when we're able to get that throwback music in, man. That's a great selection. I appreciate you, DJ. You know what I like.
Yes, sir.
You got that Uptown Anthem from none other than Naughty by Nature from the movie Juice. And speaking of juice, our next guest has a lot of juice, man. I got to spend a lot of time with him down there in Mobile at the Senior Bowl, and I had a great time, man. Learned a lot, you know, and the value of being quiet is you get to listen, and it's always good to do that. When you're listening and with a guy like our next guest, which is Damon Parson out of the Draft Network. Dame, what's going on?
What's up, TD? How you feeling, man?
Hey, I'm feeling good, man. I'm feeling good. It's always good to be able to talk shop with somebody that knows the game and knows the prospects the way you do, Dame. And I appreciate just, you know, the work you've put in, watching you, you know, accelerate and get to the point that you are, man, because I know you also host the Locked On Draft podcast as well, and that's something else that our listeners need to make sure they're plugged into.
No, absolutely, man. This is, it's, you know, the phrase is, you know, it's never work
when you do what you love. You know what I mean? Boom. It's a passion. And this time of the year, like, you know, it's go time for me. You know what I mean? I just was waiting there for everybody else to catch up. Super Bowl is over. So it's just draft season, baby.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Let's start here because we found this was back in October. We found a common love interest in a certain prospect. And you heard who brought us back from the break, A.J. Brown. So naturally, I'm going to bring up Xavier Leggett, a guy that we both said, you know what? He reminds me of A.J. And again, ladies and gentlemen, please, please understand. We're not saying that he's going to be as good as A.J. We're talking about stylistically. For me, I'm talking about movement. It looks so much like him. Tell me what made you come to that conclusion as well.
Man, it was a combination of size, strength, the way that they run their routes. You know, if you're trying to be physical with these guys, it's good luck for you, right? That's the only thing I can give you is good luck, right? And God bless, because trying to get hands-on and be physical, when they're getting the full head of steam, especially in their route stems, these guys are physical route runners, right? Like, they're not the Jerry Judy's, the Devonta Smiths. Like, they're not that type of route runner. These are the guys who are going to run violently with burst, explosion, and strength and fight through any contact you give. And so when I was watching him and I just saw the way that he moved, but also the ball skills, the frame, the speed, you know, clocking at over 22 miles per hour, I think twice this year for a 220-plus pound receiver. And, TD, you know the same way I do. There was discourse about, well, he's not 6'3". I don't care. I couldn't care less that he's not 6'3". Because when I watch him over guys, when I watch him the first game of the season against North Carolina, Spencer Rattler gives him that trust ball, right, that trust throw to the left sideline, and he just elevates over a DB. And it's just, it looks like a 40-inch vert with pads on. He just quickly elevates from the ground to the air against Florida, post, one-on-one, a post route. Spencer has pressure, throws off his back foot, showcases the arm talent, and he lays it up there for his big guy, right? And Xavier goes up there and, again, just levitates. And it looks almost like it's in slow motion because as he's levitating, the DB's not going anywhere. He's in the air, but he's not on the same level. He's not on the same floor. So when I just looked at his overall game, I was just like, man, he's so good after the catch as a yak weapon.
Yes.
I said, man, he reminds me of A.J. Brown. Like, he reminds me so much of what I saw from A.J. Brown also at Ole Miss, because he didn't run a wide variety of routes because that offense didn't have a robust playbook. You know, if I remember someone telling me it was only like, they only ran like 35 to 40 plays in that playbook or something like that. So it's the same thing. Everything was there for A.J. Brown to be who he is, and everything is there for Xavier Leggett to become what he can become. This is a former high school quarterback his senior year who had to learn the receiver position full-time at the college level. He's only scratching the surface, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I'm with you 100% on that. And then when you look at him, because, you know, a lot of people last year, they made a comparison, another Ole Miss receiver that went to Carolina, and I thought that wasn't really accurate in that, you know, you're just comparing, okay, they wore the same number at Ole Miss, and there was a significant difference. And that guy that I'm talking about, obviously, is Jonathan Mingo, right? Now, what is it that, like, what makes you feel that he's more towards the A.J. Brown side than the Jonathan Mingo side?
Fluidity. I never felt that Jonathan Mingo was extremely fluid in terms of being able to sink his hips, get out in and out of breaks, even at his size. He's a big guy. I remember seeing him walking around the sideline last year at the Senior Bowl and seeing Jonathan Mingo. I thought he was a tight end at first when I first saw him. I didn't realize who he was. I was like, well, that's a big guy. And then it was like, that's Mingo. I said, oh, okay, from Ole Miss. And I liked what I saw from him, but I truly believe, like, the burst, the explosiveness, and then, again, the physicality and the way that he moves in terms of Xavier Leggett compared to Mingo is two different levels, in my opinion.
So
Mingo was a big guy, but he didn't move as smooth as A.J. and Xavier does.
No, I agree 100%. And so let's put the X conversation to bed because we could do this whole segment on that. We're going to move on. Stay on the same topic as far as the position, but let's look at receivers. And this is a conversation that we had via text. And I had said, okay, what's the better combination or more likely to happen? a Malik Nabers, a Rome Odunze combination with a Jordan Morgan or somebody along those lines, or a Joe Alt, Olaf Oshanu, and Xavier Leggett, and Xavier Worthy, and A.D. Mitchell. What do you think is a more likely combination?
The Joe Alt, Olu, first round, sixth pick, I believe that's what Tennessee has, if I remember correctly.
Seventh,
sixth
yeah.
pick in the day, or the seventh, whichever one. That first round pick that they have, I think they're going tackle. And then you look at Xavier Leggett or Xavier Worthy. I think that's the more likely situation, especially with Jordan Morgan. He came in with like sub 33s on the arm. His hand technique is still a little raw in terms of like how wide and low he has his hand carriage. But overall, like athletically, physically, he's gifted. He could play tackle. But, you know, from people I talked to, because the sub 33s, there's a chance he gets kicked down in that guard. So we'll see. Mm-hmm. But I think Joe Alt, like, I don't think they're going to pass on adding a guy, either Alt or Fashanu. I think it's going to be Alt because he's more, like, you know exactly what you're getting with Alt. Like, where with Fashanu is still going to take a little bit of tweaking because he's got some hand placement things he's got to work on. He's an inside hand puncher. Where he throws that inside punch first. And, of course, just like a corner, you throw that inside hand or you throw the wrong hand, you can lock your hip, they can cross face, and it's an easy pass to the quarterback, right? Easy pass to success. So it's just kind of work getting him with the, you know, right offensive line coach and working through his hands. But freak, like, as an athlete, like, he's a freak athlete. Like, he does things that a lot of guys can't do. Recover, speed, anchor, power. But I think Joe Alt is going to be the first pick for the Tennessee Titans to give Will Levis that kind of cornerstone left tackle that can start day one, that you feel very comfortable with him starting day one, you know, especially in a division where you have a Trayvon Walker, a Josh Allen, Will Anderson over with the Texans, and then the variety of pass rushes that the Colts have as well. You want to be able to make sure that you keep Will Levis protected. I think Alt will be that pick.
And we're talking to Damian Parson of the Draft Network and host of Locked On, Draft Podcast on the Locked On Network. Dame, I want to get to your mock in a second, but you said something that was interesting to me. You said that it would be better or more likely to go that one of those tackles in the first round than in the second round. You mentioned the receivers. We know what you feel about Leggett, but you look at the other guys, Leggett. You mentioned Xavier Worthy, A.D. Mitchell, Troy Franklin. What direction do you think this team needs to go if they end up picking a receiver in that second round, at pick number 38, I believe it is?
I think, well, what they have now, DeAndre Hopkins shows that he still has plenty left in the tank to go out there and be your kind of volume wide receiver one. You want to hope and pray that, you know, Treylon Burks stays healthy so you can see him truly take that step in what year was going to be year three for him. And you have Kyle Phillips, who I want to see integrated more into this offense. I think a guy like Xavier Worthy or, you know, Xavier Leggett or a Troy Franklin, some guys with speed, whereas, like, for me, we know Will Levis loves the deep ball, right? Mm-hmm. Any quarterback with that type of arm talent, they typically want to chuck it. They want to get it down there, right? They want those explosive plays, especially the way that Will Levis operates. He's so much better off of the shot, off of the play action, off the run action, to be able to drop back into the pocket, see, you know what I mean, get the run game going, change the math in terms of getting those safeties rotated down, get single high, and now you got your isolated deep shot. And I think a guy, truthfully, as much as I love Xavier Worthy and Xavier Leggett, I think I have both of those guys graded over Troy Franklin, but I think that, you know, if you could get Worthy or Troy Franklin at that 38 spot with their speed, I'm expecting both of these guys to test sub 4.44. I wouldn't be surprised if either one of them hit sub 4.3. Like, both of them are really dynamic and explosive, and I think that that would pair very well with what you already have, especially with the arm talent of Will Levis. Now, you're talking about just kind of, we talked about X, you know, Leggett, like, he would bring that ball skills at the catch point that neither one of those guys really have in their bag.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree, but to your point, the vertical threat, and I love how on Twitter you mentioned you get Jalen Hyatt vibes with a route running ability, and that's what you get when you think of Troy Franklin. That's a great way to put it. And I tell you what, if I'm Brian Callahan, if I'm Nick Holes, I want that. So that's a good point there. Let's get back to your draft. And again, we're talking to Damian Parsons, the Draft Network, and also host of the Locked On Draft podcast on Locked On Network. Your draft. Now, I'm not going to give the whole mock. There were a couple surprises on here, right? And I listen, you know, there was a trade up, and I love the fact that you had that in there. You're going to have to look in there to see what the trade up is that impacts the Titans and may push one of the guys, the tackles, that is, down to the Titans. But Talese, all right, how you say his first name?
Talese Fuaga.
Okay, it is Talese Fuaga. Okay. You have him going pretty early. Help me just the difference between him, Joe Alt, Olufoshanu. What is the difference, and what makes you put him up there?
So, you know, the big difference is, you know, for one, I think with Olu and Joe, those guys are your standard left tackles that you don't have to move. With Fuaga, he's going to play majority on the right. He's a right tackle through and through. And the reason why he ended up going ahead of those was just because of the positional,
gotcha,
flexibility or where he is, because, you know, where I placed him was the New York Giants. And unless, you know, the way the mock fell, they couldn't get a quarterback. So it was just like, well, Evan Neal, that whole thing kind of has wilted. It's failed for them, you know, because he was never a right tackle. Evan Neal at Alabama, his best tape was at left. But you got Andrew Thomas. So I was like, you know what? Put Fuaga right there. Let's go ahead and stop the nonsense that's going on. Let's play. If anything, you either trade Evan Neal or you kick him down inside and play him at guard. Now you, for one, increase your run game and your physicality on the front line and athleticism in the front line. But also you protect Daniel Jones, because you invested that money into him. And if you can't replace him, which they weren't able to in my mock, let's go ahead and build a great wall in front of him. And that's why he ended up going in front of Joe Alt. And Olu, only because he's a right tackle.
Yeah, no, and that makes sense, because obviously Andrew Thomas is at left. You're not fooling with that. Now, Fuaga, Alt, Fashanu, those are three guaranteed first round picks. You'll probably see five others go in the first round too. But let's say the Titans go receiver or Brock Bowers or something else. Let's say they go a different direction at seven, and they decide to go tackle in that second round. Who are some of the guys, and what is the degree of separation that they have from the top ones, the top five, so to speak?
On that second round, I mean, the gap, this is a really, really good tackle. It's one of the best tackle classes that I've graded and that I've studied or whatnot. So, like, you think about that second round, think about Patrick Paul out of, yes, Houston that we saw down in Mobile, 6'7", 315, 320. This is one explosive athlete. He's got to still work on some hand technique, but he's strong. I think he can continue to get stronger and with his anchor and everything. But, man, like, he's got a really high ceiling when you really look at his game. The thing about Blake Fisher, he's more of a right tackle. That's the teammate to Joe Alt, 6'6", 310, 315. Good mover, strong. I think his hand technique is good and better than some of the top guys, because just the way that they're coached is a little differently than how a lot of these young men are coached. Another guy we saw down in Mobile, Christian Jones, from Texas.
Yeah,
the 6'6", 320 kid. Like, another young man that has the physical capabilities of playing the tackle position and doing it at a high level. He showcased himself well, in my opinion, especially against a lot of the different style rushers that Jim Nagy had on that roster. I really liked what I saw from him. You know, and this kid, I'm not sure, because I think he gives you the inside-outside versatility. Dominic Pooney from Kansas, 6'5", 320. He had a good week in Mobile as well. So there's definitely, you know, what you would hope is a Kingsley Suamatia falls to the top of the second from BYU. I don't foresee it, but if that was to happen, like, I wouldn't be against moving up from 38 mm-hmm. to try and get to like that Panthers 33 spot, because Kingsley is so, you're talking about, he was one of my biggest and best performers down in Mobile. Athleticism, power, positional flexibility. 2022, he started the whole season at right tackle. 2023, he spent the whole season at left, and he played great ball at both sides. So you're talking about if you have a left tackle and you don't have a right, you can flip him to the right. But if you have a right tackle and you need a left, you can keep him at left, and he gives you every bit of that. Troy Faltanu, we didn't get a chance to see him because he pulled out late from the Senior Bowl. This is a guy that a lot of people have him pegged as a guard. I think he could play tackle. He's athletic enough. He's similar to me, like, athletically to Rashawn Slater, size-wise and everything. I think okay. He can do – we watch Zach Tom for the Green Bay Packers, kind of an undersized guy, around that 6'3", 6'4", 315 range. But it doesn't have, like, you know, 35s on the arm, more 33, 34s, which that's what – from what Jim Nagy told me, that's what Troy has. Main thing with Troy is Troy's a very aggressive repeat puncher. So, like, Troy has to latch his hands and not be so aggressive. And if he can do those things, I think he can absolutely live at tackle in the NFL.
I love that. And last thing before we get you out of here, you look at Bill Callahan as the offensive line coach. When you have a coach like that, of that stature, how much does that impact your drafting, right? Like, you're going for an Olufoshano over a Joe Alt or something along those lines, knowing that you have someone that could develop and really yank that talent out to the fullest.
Yeah, when you have a coach like Bill Callahan with the experience and the capability that he has to hone in on technical prowess and making sure guys are playing the best ball that they absolutely can, I 100% would look at, you know, and think that could tip the scale in Olu's favor. Because, again, if Olu, it's just like it's that ceiling versus floor conversation. If Olu hits his ceiling, he's a top three tackle in the league if he hits his ceiling. Like, this young man is so gifted. His hands are strong. The way he recovers, like, I remember there was a rep, I can't remember which game it was, but someone tried an inside spin counter, and they sold outside, spun back inside. The way he was able to recover and stonewall the spin almost, he almost took the guy to where the center was. Like, he took him a whole other gap over, right? Like, you know, there's a play against Ohio State in 2022 where he got beat outside, and like a DB, he was able to flip his hips, get back in phase, and run that edge rusher around the arc. And I'm like, this is a different level athlete. Yeah. Like, Joe Alt's a great athlete, former tight end. Tyler Guyton from Oklahoma, former tight end. Olufoshano is an explosive guy. And if he can – Bill Callahan, I think, would do wonders for him. Because, again, it's just working on punch timing, learning how to use the right hand, right? Keep that inside hand free. That's your counter hand. So if they try to come inside, you're always prepared for that. If he nails those things down, which is flashes on tape, TD, it's flashes of it. If he gets that consistency with his physical ability, his strength, his speed, his athleticism, this is an elite caliber tackle. Just from what he's built and what he has to offer.
That's it right there. We could go on and on, but I know you got more film to watch. I got a show to wrap up, so I appreciate you. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Damian Parson. You could catch him on Twitter at @DP_NFL. Make sure you check all of his work out at the Draft Network. You go to draftnetwork.com. It's a great source for you. If there's a prospect that you need to know about, you click on there, and they have prospect profiles. They got a mock draft simulator. He has his latest mock draft out, and ladies and gentlemen, you'll be happy with the pick. I tell you that. You'll be very happy with the pick he has for the Titans at 7. Damian, appreciate you, brother.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you, man.
So that was Damian Parsons of the Draft Network, also host of the Locked On Draft podcast. You can find that on the Locked On Network. Appreciate him coming on. Appreciate Chris Sanders. Always fun talking shop. Hey, man, we might as well say Brandon Ayuk made an appearance as much as we talked about him. But, hey, DJ, good to have you back.
Always, buddy.
Yes, sir. And most of all, we appreciate each of you for tuning in. Definitely make sure you continue to rock with us. It's draft season, so we're going to keep it going. Check us out. Google, Spotify, iTunes, anywhere you get your fine listening materials. Search Talking with TD. Subscribe, rate, review. We appreciate you.